wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Follow the signs. Open your eyes.
The ceasefire in Israel didn't cease for long, so we'll talk about the latest bombings and targets. Has President Trump been targeted for some lawless behavior by our lawmakers? Hey, did you know you've been targeted as unneeded and unwanted? So we want to know what's behind that kind of thinking, and we'll reveal the source as we explore the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecy that we find in the world's news for Friday, August 12th, 2022. And like an evolutionary puddle of goo that turns into a living being, this broadcast will pull a Darwin and evolve into podcast 228, available through Apple, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, or Google, or just cut out millions of years of theoretical development and download the Way Media app or hit us up at thewaymedia.net right now. The only place you can read the articles from this show or ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question, which we've got a good one for this week.
That's right.
And now here to be our Pat Sajak to the world's wheel of misfortune is Pastor Mark, whose wife thinks that he doesn't give her enough privacy. Well, at least that's what she said in her diary.
Yeah, that's right. And which, again, we're revealing right now. Do you have like a book of these or something? Did somebody get you a book?
No.
Where do you get these? You don't make these up.
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my. No.
You can't give your source because they'd be like, I can tell you if I check it and you'd go broke and everybody get rich.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. All right.
Pretty much. Checking. But some weeks are better than others.
Yeah.
For sure. I wasn't sure if you got that.
No, they make you smile. That's a smile, but it's like you want to laugh. You know, I want to be there to.
Yes.
But it's still all right.
It's okay. All right. It's the hardest part of my job.
Yeah.
Making you laugh. Okay. This is kind of interesting. I thought today was an interesting day. Today is Middle Child Day. Did you know that over half of the U.S. presidents were middle children? Because middles are known for being fair and peaceful.
For real.
For
middle
real.
Children.
For real. I don't make this stuff up.
That's funny because I think about one of my girls, particularly in the middle there, was always about that's not fair, what's fair. She's always kind of the fair police. And that's interesting. That's very, very.
There you go.
You know, maybe she'll be a president.
I don't know.
Just a referee.
Or a referee.
Yeah.
That's at a kid's soccer game. Yes.
There you go. Interesting.
Anyway,
yeah.
So there we go.
Human nature.
Human nature. Yep. All right. So let's go ahead and get started, Pastor Mark.
Let's do it.
With our articles this week. And we'll head over to Israel as we do most weeks on Signs of the Times, because there's always something happening in the apple of God's eye over there. This is from JNS.org, Operation Breaking Dawn. Some 1,000 projectiles fired at Israel as the IDF targets Islamic Jihad leaders.
Yeah.
So the ceasefire really didn't.
It's ongoing. Stay,
it's ongoing over there.
You know, it really is. I mean, let me read some of it and then we'll talk about it
sure.
in a minute because it does need to be talked about. Israel's Operation Breaking Dawn entered its third day on Sunday as Palestinian Islamic Jihad in the Gaza Strip resumed firing rockets at the Jewish state. Sirens blared in the Jerusalem area and in the southern city of Beersheba on Sunday for the first time since the launch of the operation on Friday. As of Sunday evening, terrorists from Gaza had fired nearly 1,000 rockets toward the Jewish state since hostilities broke out, according to the IDF. And again, I doubt it's done yet. We don't know. I mean, again, like clockwork, we see these things pop up every so often. They die back down. They pop up. They die back down. But they are kind of that. It's almost like the volcano that doesn't quite blow yet. You see the smoke come out. You see it bubble some, and it dies back down. And that goes on for years. And then all of a sudden, boom. And you never know. There's every so many years, they have a boom, and there's a mini war that goes on over there. And of course, we're watching for the major war with Russia and Iran to come in, but you're seeing the same kind of rumblings. And yet at the same time, I just was reading, Greg, maybe just today, if not today, yesterday, tourism is almost back to normal in Israel now. I mean, it's packed over there. People that hadn't been able to go, dying to get to the Holy Land, they're
absolutely
all kind of funneling back in. And so it's again, we're going next May. If anybody wants to join us, you can just go to a company called The Church, or else go to Inspired Travel and ask for Calvary Chapel, Knoxville. But either way, it's going great over there as far as that goes. And so when this stuff happens, for our listeners that want to go to Israel or you think about going, when those rockets are flying in, you literally go on a tour and you don't even know it's happening. If you didn't watch the news, you wouldn't know it's happening. Now, if you were down toward the Beersheba area, if you went to the Dead Sea and you were swooping kind of low on that region, you know, there may be a blocked road, or you may, you know, don't do this right now. You know, I don't know, but it's not dangerous for the general population. It just kind of stays there on the border. Now, what could change down the road is they are getting in more rockets that have the ability to go deeper into Israel. You don't see that very often unless they're really wanting to start some kind of mini war, because they realize when they do, then the heavy machinery comes out and they just, artillery, I mean, and, you know, Israel just pounds them so hard, they have to really pay for that kind of action.
Yeah.
But they can do it now. But most of this stuff, again, it's these skirmishes there on the border, and you're going to see more of that leading up until, again, you see this invasion by the Russians and Iran and all that. And so it doesn't surprise me, but keep an eye on it. You never know which one of these is going to kind of keep going and do something, but I don't think this is going to. I think it's going to die down.
My wife had shared with me when we went to Israel, she said as soon as we landed, she said she never felt safer.
Yeah, I mean,
being there. And you don't have an appreciation for the kind of security that Israel has. But when you read stories like this, you begin to understand why they've got the security they do.
That's right.
Why you see people, military people, openly carrying long rifles.
That's right. That's right. And they do, because remember, everybody 18 has to serve for 2 years in the military. And when you're off duty, you carry your rifle with you. So you'll see people with their, you know, they're really Israeli ARs. They're not ARs, but they're the Israeli version of the AR. And you'll see them carrying them and you feel totally safe. It's not like some, oh my goodness, they've got a rifle. It's like, no, these are our friends. These are the ones that are trained. They will protect us if something bad happens. And so you see that everywhere. And because of that, you feel safe in the country. It really is a very safe feeling.
Well, and I think that also lends to deterrence. You know,
absolutely.
When you have a presence the way that Israel presents defense over there, you know, you're going to think long and hard before you do something. And that's why most of the things that are done to Israel don't happen within Israel.
Yeah.
You know, now they've had bombings and things like that internally, and suicide bombers and things like that. We've talked about that on the show in the past. But I'll tell you what, Israel has a way of clamping down on that pretty quick.
Yeah, they really do. And Greg, it's interesting phenomena in the way what you just said that Ann said, and the way that I feel when I'm there. You know, there's this mindset that if everybody's walking around with guns, you would feel unsafe. It's actually the exact opposite.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, if you're at the Weigels and one guy pulls out a gun, or somebody's acting strange with a knife, or somebody's kind of acting weird, you know, some of the maybe on drugs or whatever, you're really kind of nervous. You're kind of looking around. You're even in the parking lot. If you've been in those situations, it's kind of like, this is nervous. And if this guy does something, who's going to stop him? There aren't any cops around. Whereas in Israel, you look around you and it's so many people carrying their rifles that you just kind of go, you don't think about anybody trying to do something crazy, because you realize if they did, it stops right away. I remember, wasn't Fort Hood, what was it, one where the guy shot 13 people here a while back? He was, it was Islamic, it was a terrorist attack on a base. Which base?
That was Fort Hood.
Okay, Fort Hood.
I think it was Fort Hood, yeah.
Well, it's interesting because when we went to Israel shortly after that, it was either I was reading it in the news or one of them when I was there said it. They said the difference in America and an incident like that is, in America, somebody pulls out a gun and there's 13 people dead before it stops. He said in Israel, if somebody pulls out a gun, the most you ever have dead are two. The person that pulled out the gun and the person stopping them, because they may have gotten shot while they're stopping that guy.
Yeah.
So they said in Israel, if this stuff happens, it's shut down quickly. Why? There are lots of guns everywhere. And so what we see is the more guns, the more safe it is and the more protection. And the quicker things are stopped that are bad. The old joke is, you know, when seconds count, police are just minutes away. and so it's pretty much up to you or somebody there to protect you and protect your family. And so we see a lot of stuff that goes really terribly south here. It goes bad not as much in the South, oddly, but bad when it happens other places because you see more weapons in the South. But it is interesting to note that you do feel safer. And statistically, we know from true facts and statistics, societies that have more guns there is less violence and less death, less murder, because people have a fear. They realize they're going to be stopped. So it kind of goes again. Your mind goes one way. You think, oh, more guns, more violence. But actually, it's the reverse. Statistics show the more guns you have, the safer it is. And I've experienced that, not just in seeing what happens in those kind of communities, but also even, like I said, going to Israel, you just feel safe.
Yeah.
Really quite the phenomenon.
Yeah. When deterrence is deteriorated, you have things like what happens in our country as well. But anyway.
Yeah. Very interesting.
We could go on and on about that forever. Let's talk about America, Pastor Mark. The big news here this week from Fox News is that the FBI had raided President Trump's Mar-a-Lago home in Florida. And the title of the article says, Trump says Mar-a-Lago home in Florida under siege by FBI agents. So explain all of this.
Absolutely.
What's going on? What provocation did the FBI have? Who issued a search warrant?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, again, look, Greg, this is a new line that we've crossed. This is something that's never happened in American history. And it was Merrick Garland, who's considered the top law enforcement agent in the world, in America, whatever, that issued the search warrant. We still don't know if there's any legitimate reason to do it. But the big measure of this, the thing that really got my attention about this is a new step in boldness against the American people that we've never seen. And really, it's kind of, as I said, the headwinds to the coming Antichrist, I believe. And that is, when the Antichrist takes over, he's going to have total control of the world. That doesn't matter whether you are an ex-president or you're the president or who you are. If he wants to go into your home and get things, he'll go into your home. There will be no one that stops the Antichrist. And when we see this kind of thing happening to a level that you can't believe happened in America, it's so wrong on so many levels. You realize, I believe, the headwinds of what's coming, showing this iron fist of the Antichrist. He will do what he wants when he wants. Listen, and the article, nothing like this has ever happened to a president of the United States, it says, before. After working and cooperating with the relevant government agencies, which he did, this announced raid on his home, he said, was not necessary nor appropriate. President Trump said it is prosecutorial misconduct, which it was, the weaponization of the justice system. And that's the scariest thing. Look, if you don't like President Trump, you may be excited right now. We got him. He's in trouble, or whatever you think is going to happen. But what you don't realize is that this is now, if they'll go after a president, they'll go after anybody. Now, your home is not safe. Your business, your life, the police state, as they say, which the Antichrist will bring in, Greg, this is the headwinds of that. It's an attack by the radical left, they say, that who desperately don't want the president to run in 2024, especially based on recent polls that show there's nothing that can stop him. And again, the upcoming midterm elections. Such an assault can only take place in a broken third world country. Sadly, America has now become one of those countries.
Yes.
Corrupt at a level never seen before, President Trump said, alleging the FBI actually broke into his personal safe. What is the difference between this and Watergate, he said, where operatives broke into the Democratic National Committee? Here, in reverse, Democrats broke into the home of the 45th president of the United States. So, yeah, it is a great, I think, inappropriate thing to do to a former president, especially when he was cooperating with him and all that.
Yeah,
it's just simply a political attack on enemies like Russia does, and like North Korea, these places, like, not America. But what it shows, Greg, we're not that America anymore. At least under this current leadership, we are a country like those countries, like Russia, like communist countries, where if they have a political opponent, they're just going to go do what they want. And as I said, it goes much farther. It doesn't matter about where you stand politically for the president. There may be some type of political satisfaction that you get from this if you're for it. But you have to realize it is a turning point for the nation when the FBI, Greg, can give warrants to go after a former president, which there's, again, so far no evidence that there was any warranting of this whatsoever. And even the fact he was cooperating, they could have gone in and worked with them and gotten what they needed. It really shows, again, I think, that iron-fisted move, that spirit of the Antichrist coming, which, again, as Daniel describes, he's
absolutely
a beast of iron that will rule with an iron fist.
Now, I know that the Babylon Bee had reported that the FBI was raiding the homes of those that were protesting the raid. So I don't know if that was...
The Babylon Bee. I know, they're great. Guys. They are.
They're total satire. But in all seriousness, President Trump had posted something on his social media platform that showed an open safe, and the only thing in the safe was the king from a chess set.
Yeah.
Or whatever the best piece on a chessboard is. Right. I don't play chess. I don't know.
Right.
And that's the only thing that was sitting in the safe.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so I just thought that was kind of funny.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, again, the thing that's so scary about it is not only in the raid, Greg, but they apparently did not let, when they do that, they're supposed to allow your lawyers to go in to make sure that they only do what the warrant allows.
Exactly.
And they didn't allow the lawyers, they're saying, to go in. The danger of that is
planting evidence.
Yeah, you could put anything in there you wanted.
Yeah.
And if you don't think that our government, and I think both sides are capable of such activity, it's not about Republican, Democrat. Yeah. I think both sides are capable of doing something for themselves politically.
Yeah.
You're just deceived if you don't realize that. And so this is something that now, Greg, what it shows is the rights of Americans are pretty much gone. When you can do that to a president, I mean, who are we? We're nobody.
When you have been bullied as a nation into tolerating things that go against the foundation of the Constitution, the foundation of our government, the operation of our government, the integrity of our government, when you've allowed those things to slowly creep in, and through elected officials and employees of the government that have been appointed, whose ideologies run contrary to the Constitution and the foundations of our government, you end up with an intolerant government.
Yeah.
And that's where we're heading. But we know that that's prophetic from a biblical sense.
That's right.
And it's acute. We're acutely aware of it here. Because as you've said many times on the program, we're one of the last, if not the last, standing governments in the nation.
Yeah.
Or in the world.
In the world.
In the world that, you know, operates based on biblical principles.
That's
how
right.
How the country was founded.
That's right.
And not into these totalitarian regimes and these socialist or communist style governments.
Right, that is any nation with power. I think there's a couple more that don't have power that do that, Greg, but we're the only ones with power. And let me just say this. What you notice historically is a pattern. What you'll see is, you'll see, first of all, the law is put in place, such as the Constitution, and the majority of the people willfully obey it. You don't have to make them. They want to. They're appreciative. They're glad there's boundaries, and again, they obey it. Then you begin to get more rebellion to that, and they have to be forced to obey it.
Yeah.
We are now at that place where, for example, we have our leading officials in the nation will go directly against the Constitution until they lose at the Supreme Court.
Right.
And once they are forced to obey the law, then they have to. And even then they say, well, we're not going to enforce it. We won't obey it. The last stage is we do away. Everybody's so corrupt. You do away with all law completely. And it's just anarchy. And that's where we're headed.
Well, exactly. And when you think about the three branches of our government, when one branch doesn't respect the other, you have a government that's going to implode.
Yeah.
And the latest example of that. Is the ruling by the Supreme Court that reversed the decision of Roe versus Wade.
Right.
Now, this is not about Roe versus Wade. This is about the actions of the executive branch.
Right.
And maybe even to a certain extent, the legislative branch.
Right.
That didn't like what the judicial branch ruled on.
Yeah.
And so because of that, we're going to ignore that, and we're going to do everything we can to supersede. I mean, you've just identified a cancer within the body because those three branches of government is the body of our government, and it's fighting with itself. That describes a cancer.
It does. And again, it's like now corruption, Greg, has reached the highest levels.
Right.
And at that point, it's just a matter of time. Unless everybody's thrown out, it's a matter of time. They talk about, you know, clearing out the swamp in Washington or whatever. I mean, you literally would have to throw most everybody out and start over. And so I don't have a lot of hope that's going to happen, but we do have hope there could be revival and that God himself could hold things back and maintain. That's what we're praying for.
Yeah. And not only that, too, Pastor Mark, I think that, you know, when we see things like this, and I know this is, you know, the antithesis of where our emotions go, especially for those people that, you know, love this country. But we've got to love the Bible more. We've got right. to love our Lord more.
That's right.
And what he has told us has to happen first, but the good things that are going to happen after.
Yeah.
And the problem is that even if we get a reprieve, which is certainly well worth praying for. I mean,
yes.
who doesn't want a respite?
Right.
Who doesn't want to hit a plateau? Absolutely.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is that even if we get that, which will be a blessing, it's not going to get better.
No, it's not. And you know, Greg, I'm hoping for, again, it's kind of a reprieve, but kind of still moving forward. I would love to see things continue to move forward, but God protect us where we are
yes.
until the rapture takes place.
Absolutely.
So you kind of have, it doesn't stop the
yes.
progress of the Antichrist, but you have that protection where you
yeah.
can still kind of have some normalcy of life
yeah.
until the Lord gets us out. Now,
exactly.
Throughout history, believers have suffered persecution. We may have to go through some persecution, and it could be some serious stuff. We don't know. But at the same time, there's nothing wrong in praying, Lord, have mercy on us. We're honoring you. There's a group of people in America honoring you, and we're standing with you and your word. We haven't rebelled against you.
Yeah.
And so have mercy on us until you come and take your bride home.
Yeah. Well, and all the more reason that we need to be encouraged to strengthen our relationship with the Lord, that we're purified in that sense. Because when you look at church history, well, you can see this in the Bible as well, obviously. But when you look at church history in Fox's Book of Martyrs,
right,
and you see how these people responded to the persecution, only highlighted the intimacy of their relationship with the Lord.
That's right. That's right.
Because if you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, you're not going to be able to endure that persecution. As a matter of fact, you're not even going to be in a position to be persecuted because nobody's going to think you're a Christian.
Well, and that's why we have to get serious about the Lord right now while things are not that bad. You know, Greg,
exactly.
it's been said, you don't know the flavor of the tea until you pour in the hot water. And that's oftentimes what you hear. If you just see that white, tea,
right.
that little container that holds it, you don't know until you pour the hot water in what flavor's there. And I'll tell you something, believer listening to us right now, until that hot water is poured in your life, you don't know what fragrance is going to come out and what flavor. And unless we become tea for Jesus right now, so to speak, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then we're in big trouble if it hits. And so now's the time to get serious.
Yeah. Good point.
Yep.
All right. All right. Well, it's a great segue to the coming one world government.
Yes, absolutely.
Breitbart is reporting that the World Economic Forum's Yuval Harari is saying we don't need the vast majority yeah. of the population.
Yeah, I'm going to read a little bit more of this article. It's not super long, but I want you to hear some more
yeah.
of this. Again, real quick on the Yuval, this guy's been saying, Greg, these same things for a long time, but what he's doing is this Jewish professor that is really just speaking the mouth of Satan. It's amazing, just truly Antichrist stuff coming out of his mouth or false prophet type
yeah,
stuff. I'm not
absolutely.
Saying he's either, and I don't think he is. But
well, boy, he's got to be awful close.
Yeah, he's right connected. He's certainly in tune with the spirit
if
you would
up,
say
yes.
that.
Yep.
And he's been saying for a long time, we have too many people on the earth. We don't need them. You know, the part of the World Economic Forum's goal is to depopulate the earth. Some have said they want to get us down from 8 billion to 1 billion. Some say they want to get us all the way down to 500 million. Whatever the case, they say we don't need this many people. They're in the way. And, AI and computers and robots will take over all the jobs. And all the smart people will survive. And I want you to notice this, Greg, before I even read this article. This goes back to Charles Darwin. Satan used him to start this whole mess back in the 1800s. And that is this. This whole lie about evolution, which is a lie and has now been proven scientifically impossible. Even scientists, when I tell you evolution is impossible, those that are honest will tell you. We don't have time to go into their own quotes, which I won't have time for now. But the point is, they now realize that. But what it teaches is the basic principle of survival of the fittest. And what that means is if we're stronger, we take out the weak. And that's good for the world long term because the strong survive and the weak fade away. And mm-hmm. that hurts the DNA pool or whatever.
Right.
And the smarter, if they survive, let the ones that aren't as smart fade away. And so it's this whole mindset of the evolution. So you think about it. If you really believe that with all your heart and truly behind it, believe it, heart, soul, mind, and strength. It would be a good thing for the weaker people to die off. It would be a good thing for those less smart to die off. That would be a good thing. And he said, well, that sounds barbaric. Of course it does, because it is barbaric. But if you really believe that, it would make logical sense. That is Yuval Harari. Notice this. He says this. We don't just need the vast majority. He's the World Economic Forum advisor. We just don't need the vast majority of the population. He said this just last week in a TED. He wasn't doing a TED talk, but talking to the guy that does the TED talk.
Close enough, yeah.
He said, you know, given modern technologies, human labor, economically and militarily, it makes people redundant. Because we don't need people anymore. Harari's remarks were made with an interview with Chris Anderson, the head of the TED published on Tuesday. He assessed widespread contemporary disillusionment about common people. We don't need them as being rooted. He says, and the common people, notice this, Greg. He said the common people are rooted in fear because they feel they'll be left behind in a future run by smart people. So he's saying common people are dumb. And then he goes on to say such fears are justified. He added, giving his projection that the emerging technologies will displace economic needs to many categories of existing work. And before I read some of his quotes here, do you remember who it was, Greg, that Jesus came for and that said, heard him gladly?
I was just trying to look up the verse on that now.
It says the common people heard him gladly. Jesus That's went funny. For the common people because the ones who thought they were smart were so arrogant they couldn't be saved. So what he's saying is, I want all the arrogant people that can't be saved to take over the earth, and all the people that God loves, let them all die. No, that's not how it's going to work, Mr. Harari. As a matter of fact, you may drive your Harari Ferrari and think you're so smart or whatever the case might be with all your money and brains, but you're going to be judged by God Almighty, and it's going to be the common people that maybe don't brag about their smarts and probably are just as smart or smarter in their own way than you are, and God's going to save them and bring them into the kingdom. Yeah. He says this, a lot of people sense they're being left behind and out of the story, even if their material conditions are relatively good. In the 20th century, what was common to all the stories, the liberal, fascist, communist, is that the big heroes of the story were the common people, not necessarily all people. But if you live, say, in the Soviet Union in the 30s, life was very grim. When you looked at the propaganda posters on the walls, they depicted a glorious future, and you were there. You looked at the posters, and it showed steel workers, farmers in heroic poses as the obvious future. Now, when people look at posters on the walls or listen to TED Talks, they hear a lot of these big ideas and big words about machine learning and genetic engineering and blockchain and globalization, and they simply are not a part of that. They're no longer a part of the story of the future. And I think, you know, again, this is a hypothesis, but if you try to understand and connect the deep resentment of the people in many places around the world, part of what might be going on is people realize, hey, and they're correct in thinking this, the future doesn't need me. You have all these smart people in California or in New York or in Beijing that are planning this amazing future with artificial intelligence and bioengineering and in a global connectivity of whatnot, and they don't need me. Maybe if they're nice, they'll throw some crumbs your way and give you universal basic income. Isn't that interesting? He's been saying we need to give people a universal basic income. The World Economic Forum is saying that. Give them video games. Give them drugs. Let them stay feeling good and high, playing video games. Let all their bills be paid for, and then we'll just let them die off while we do all the fun things in the world and take over, is basically what he's saying. He says if you go to the middle of the 20th century, and it doesn't matter if you're in the United States with Roosevelt or in Germany with Hitler, or even in the USSR with Stalin, you think about building the future, then your building materials are those millions of people who are working hard in the factories, farms, and soldiers. You need them, he says, but in this coming future, you just don't need them. He says, now fast forward to the 21st century, the vast majority of the population is going to be controlled by sophisticated technology like artificial intelligence and bioengineering. And most people just don't contribute anything to that except perhaps for the data that they provide. And he says the technologies increasingly will make people redundant and make it possible to simply replace people. Greg, they actually use the term useless eaters. So yes. We don't need to be here. We're useless eaters. We're not running all the tech corporations. The computers and the robots can do what we're doing. So basically the elites take over and we evolve to this brand new world where only the smartest and strongest survive. It is demonic. It is evil. And the Lord is going to judge it harshly when he comes back. But again, you can see the spirit of Antichrist working through the World Economic Forum and working through this Yuval Noah Harari. Again, they're telling us what they're going to do, Greg. They want to throw us in cities where we're locked in. They give us a universal income. We have no freedom. They run everything. The smart people are the ones doing it. And us, you know, peons, you know, whatever, the common people.
Yeah.
Again, they're telling us that it's coming. And here's the good news for the believer. If you know the Lord, we're going to be taken out of here and we win in the end. If you don't know the Lord, you have a grim future. You better be one of the smart people. And even if you are one of the smart and rich, you have a short life down here because the Lord's going to come back and take it all over. And you're going to be judged if you don't come to Christ. I mean, this is so demonic. And so obviously the spirit of the Antichrist. I mean, they're shouting what they're going to do. We better wake up.
You know, it's interesting, Pastor Mark, when we talked about the common people heard him gladly, there in Mark in chapter 12, this is at the end of this long discourse that Jesus is having with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they're challenging him.
Yeah.
And they're trying to trip him up. They're trying to see, you know, poke holes in his theology.
They're the intellectuals of the day, by the way. They're the ones that all the scholars, like Yuval Harari, they're the professors
exactly.
in Jerusalem, quite literally.
Exactly. And so at the very end of this, you know, Jesus is answering, you know, all of these questions. And he said, then Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? For David himself said, by the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, David himself calls him Lord. How is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly.
I love it.
You know, isn't that mad? And the scribes and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were indignant to hear the truth.
Yes. Greg, remember, this is so appropriate.
Amazing.
I'm glad you brought that up because they were the intellectuals of the day. The only university in Jerusalem, and there were different learning centers around the world, but the one there in Israel was in Jerusalem. It was the higher scholars. It was the rabbis, those who were trained. That was the seminary, the Bible college, and the whole nation, again, was around that, so to speak.
Yeah.
They were the intellectuals like this Yuval Noah Harari. They were the ones that were making fun of these disciples from Galilee that were nobodies. They were like just
useless,
hicks.
The useless eaters.
They were useless eaters that were hicks that smelled like fish, and cats were following them all over town because they were fishermen. And they were nobody, and they were laughing. You think you're about, what do you think you know? You're blind. You're rebuking us. You know, they acted in arrogance. That is the modern day Yuval Noah Harari. And the Lord says, you know what? Those, the common people, they're the people that have hearts and love and intimacy. And he says, you follow me. I have a kingdom for you. You guys are going into outer darkness. Man, there's a massive day of judgment coming.
Yeah.
And these guys are going to be so shocked. And it's going to be, look, I don't rejoice that anybody doesn't go to heaven. I hope Yuval Harari gets saved. I hope they all give their life to Christ. But if we get to that day and they continue to reject and shake their fist at God, it's going to be so sweet to see the common people they've been just mocking entering into the kingdom while they're going to miss out on everything.
Amen. You're listening to Signs of the Times, our weekly look at Bible prophecy that we find in the world's news. Today is Friday, August 12th, 2022. You might be listening later to podcast episode 228. Either way, thanks for joining us. And I forgot to bring up my pot to say you've got mail. So I will say, I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to sing it because I can't sing.
Yes.
But I will say you've got mail.
Okay. I heard it.
At the very end.
It came on.
I know.
It was
a little late.
Vod mail.
Can I tell you something just totally off the cuff here?
Yes.
And nothing to do with any of this, but every week, not when I talk, but when you talk, I hear in my headphones what sounds like the cricket sound from your cell phone.
Oh, great. Oh, great. What you're saying is I'm boring.
No.
Yes.
I'm saying who's
crickets,
calling
crickets.
You? No, who's calling you? Because don't you have a phone thing?
I do. It does.
Ringtone?
But it's on vibrate. So all you hear is...
That's
what you would hear.
Okay. All right. Anyway, I digress.
But no, the crickets is because you're saying I'm boring.
No, I'm not. You're just projecting that on yourself.
Okay, well,
okay.
All right.
We'll deal with that self-esteem issue later.
That's right.
All right, this question comes from Denise, and when you submit a question, we give you the opportunity to say, hey, where do you listen to us? Because it's always fun for us to know where our listeners are. Denise, she's great. She gives us East Tennessee directions.
I love it.
Because she says she's behind the K's Ice Cream Cone in South Knoxville.
I can find you.
And we know where the K's Ice Cream Cone is.
There's only a few houses there. We could probably find you. I know, I'm kidding. There's neighbors, and we wouldn't do that. But that's really sweet. I love the identifier there.
I love that. Anyway, Denise's question is titled, Why Study What Happens After the Rapture? She says, there is no question that God will fulfill every prophecy in the Bible 100% accurately. The Bible's description of events leading up to the rapture is so relevant and timely in these days. I am curious, though, why so much emphasis is put on studying what will happen after the Lord's church is raptured. The people left behind are the ones who will need to know all this, but they are probably not the ones paying attention to all the teaching and discussions going on right now. It's questionable whether they will have access to all the podcasts, videos, even books that are out there now, once the digital age of the Antichrist-influenced government control sets in. So why so much attention is paid to the post-rapture times?
Yeah, what a great question.
Yeah.
And I want to do it kind of in a tiered
kind of logical
answer.
In a sense.
Yeah, it really is. But I want to kind of give it to you in a tiered thing. Number one, it's interesting. The book of Revelation is the book that talks about what happens after the rapture. So that would be your greatest reference to find out why it's important to know this and be teaching it. It's interesting that in the book of Revelation, it says, "Blessed are those who read and keep the words of this book." So the very first and foremost thing I would bring up is the Bible says, if you study what happens after the rapture, you will be a blessed individual. So first and foremost, the reason I want to study what's happening after the rapture and that we want to teach others what's happening after the rapture is because it's the only book that comes with a promise in the entire Bible that says, if you teach what happens after the rapture and if you study what happens after the rapture, you will be a blessed individual. And I want to be blessed, and I know the body of Christ wants to be blessed. So first and foremost, we do it because God said to do it, and we do it so we can have a blessing in our life. And so that's the number one. The second thing would be, and here's the more practical reason. As we teach what happens after the rapture, we are teaching a lot of unbelievers. And although you said they probably aren't going to do it, there'll be a lot that will. If we teach the unbelievers, they're hearing about what's going to happen after the rapture. Then when the rapture takes place and they see all these things happening, that's what gives them hope to come to Christ now. It's like, all right, I missed the rapture, but now I can be saved. And also, we see Jesus over and over said, I tell you these things in advance so that you'll be ready when it comes. You'll be mentally prepared. Well, we are to tell other people about what's going to happen so they can be mentally prepared. Yes, they missed the rapture, but now they know what to expect. Now they know about the seals and all the things, the plagues and the bowls and all this. You think, well, I don't know that I want to know. No, you would want to know so you could do some type of protection. You'd be prepared mentally and physically in some way for it. So there's the blessing of the Lord, number one. There's number two, the equipping of those who are going to be saved afterwards. And lastly, you can leave a legacy behind by tape, by video, like we're doing right now, about the rapture and about what happens afterwards, so that as people are coming to the Lord, then they can, again, grow and study and know how to do that. So, again, it's a great logical question. But if you didn't know that God said by studying what happens after the rapture, you're going to be blessed, you might not see the purpose. But that alone is enough for me to study and teach about after the rapture. I want that blessing of God as promised in Revelation. But then I think about those that I know, Greg, that I love, that don't know the Lord yet. And if they don't get saved before the rapture, I hope this is a legacy they can listen to and make that decision and then know how to be prepared for the great tribulation.
Yeah. And even in an age where she describes things being under such tight control, we've got to remember, too, that God is still sovereign even over all of that.
That's right.
And God has preserved his word because the Bible says that, you know, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall remain forever.
Yeah.
And God has supernaturally protected the existence, the physical existence of the Bible, even though we know it's alive and breathing and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it really is a depiction of Jesus, you know, how John 1:1 describes it. So we can trust that God will make available whatever we've left behind,
yes,
his word, all of that, to those that are honestly seeking him during that great tribulation time.
Right. And again, I would add something else to that,
yeah,
and that is we see God really speaking to John in Revelation about making sure that he shares this with the churches.
Mm.
And again, he's speaking not only them, but also futuristically. So he's saying, you need to share with the churches what's going to happen before and after the rapture. And then again, we see Paul, because God wants the full counsel of God's word in us.
Yes.
We see Paul saying, I've not shunned to declare to you the full counsel of God, the entire counsel
of
God's word.
Acts 20:27. Yeah.
So we see God moving also, Denise, through his servant saying, I want my people to know all of the Bible, regardless of whether they're going to be here or not. I want them to know all of it so they're prepared, and then it prepares other people as well.
Yeah.
And specifically, as we said, with Revelation, they get a special blessing.
And the whole Bible makes a whole Christian.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
That's so,
slogan, make a shirt.
Make
a shirt. Sticker, you're good to go.
Okay.
There it is.
Maybe we'll have that online.
There you go.
Anyway, Denise, thanks for your question. If you've got a question like Denise, then we encourage you to go to thewaymedia.net or the Way Media app. Just look for Signs of the Times and where you can ask Pastor Mark your prophecy question. And we've also got some frequently asked questions that are answered out there. that we encourage you to take a look at as well. All right, let's get into some growing anti-Semitism. This is from YNetNews.com. Canada is now saying the Jews were the most targeted religious minority for hate crimes in 2021.
You know, Canada is really not much different than, I mean, you talk about these nations historically that have just gone toward the enemy, Greg. Canada's like the Germany, getting like Germany in the 40s, and they're horrible.
Well, and what's helped to accelerate that, Pastor Mark, is their prime minister.
Yeah, Trudeau.
Trudeau, who is a disciple.
Yep.
Of Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum.
I know you're seeing, this is where you see the world working in tandem,
you see
Greg,
it, yes.
Which is why I said this is a real sign that the Antichrist is going to be appearing soon, because the world's now working together in this tandem. Well, again, we see the Jews being targeted as always. Again, we expect that. The spiritual battle is going to be against the Jews, God's chosen people and promised people, and Christians, again, God's bride. It says, although only 1% of the population, Jews are victims of 14% of the hate crimes. So it's only 1% of Jews that are there, but 14% of the hate crimes are against the Jews. Statistics Canada report showing that 47% rise compared to a previous year. They've almost increased, Greg, 50% since last year. Canada's 380,000 Jews were the most targeted religious minority for hate crimes reported to the police in 2021. The country's official numbers were reported on Tuesday. Now, again, as we said, you're watching Satan really take over Canada and really this whole thing going on there and their leadership. And when that happens, you're going to expect a hatred for the Jews. When Satan took over Germany in the 40s, what did you have? A hatred of the Jews. So when the world gets taken over by the Antichrist, what are you going to have? That same spirit of Satan, a hatred of the Jews, and also a hatred of the Christians that won't get in line with people that are also fighting against the Jews or fighting against God. And sadly, some in the church give in from fear and go along. And so doesn't surprise me, but again, it's heartbreaking.
Yep.
Zechariah 12 is going to keep happening toward the end. We're getting closer. And so again, we have to keep our eye on it.
Yep. And we have to report on
it. Yep. That's right.
Just like we have to report on pestilence, plagues, disasters, and heavy on the corruption.
Yes.
If pestilence, plagues, and disasters were the noodles, then corruption is kind of like the hollandaise sauce or whatever that you pour all over.
You're making me hungry.
Sorry.
In a prophetic way.
In a prophetic way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I wish I had some food here for you later.
That's all right. That's all right. Futuristic. I see my meal down the road. I can see it. I'm already picturing that meal.
It's in the app on your phone.
Yes.
This says here, now they are literally bowing down and worshiping Baal right in front of our eyes. Now, you showed a video last week of this, so I know this is why this article is included. So why don't you share this?
Yeah, this is
amazing.
Let me read some of it. Now, I'm not going to even talk about how this has been building up, because you could look at this kind of thing, Greg, and think, come on. No, this has been building for a long time, and it's not getting any less. During the opening ceremony of the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham, England, on July 28th, that's just not that long ago, a couple weeks ago, a giant mechanical bull with glowing red eyes was rolled out into the center of Alexander Stadium. The bull was approximately 10 meters high. It took more than 5 months to build. It was given the nickname the Raging Bull, and it absolutely dwarfed all the human participants that were involved. It was gigantic. If you hadn't seen it, you need to go see
big.
This. Yeah. The hero of the opening ceremony, a character known as Stella, I don't know why Stella was the hero, but I'm sure there's a reason behind that, calmed the creature down, and then all the human performers gathered around the giant bull and literally began to bow down and worship it. We have so much to talk about in just a second.
I know.
A total of 72 nations participated in the Commonwealth Games. And so this opening ceremony was being viewed on countless television screens all over the planet. The symbolism in this ritual was well planned in advance. The organizers knew exactly what they were doing. The bull has always been a symbol of the ancient deity from the Middle East known as Baal or Baal. According to Christianity Today, in artistic depictions of archaeological finds, Baal took the shape of a bull or a ram. It was the god, apparently, according to the Canaanite worship, that defeated El and had associations with the sun and thunder, and of all the foreign gods of the Israelites that they came in contact with, they struggled more with that when they followed Baal more. There was also Molech, they said, which was shown by a bull as well. Believe that the idols of Molech were giant metal statues with a bull's head, a man with a bull's head. Keep that in mind, a man with a bull's head, and they had a hole in their abdomen. They would stoke this fire and burn their babies alive in the belly of this. Again, we talked about the relation to abortion today. And it was supposed to bring good prosperity and good, blessings to the family. And what they tell you today, have a baby, it'll go good for you because you can't afford it, whatever. Same spirit behind it, but just done a different way. And at the end of it, some women got up and rode the bull. Now, there's so much going on here. First of all, we have the imagery of this has been building up for a long time. Let's back up. You see all the imagery of the European Union. They've used a bull as their symbol. They've even used a woman on a bull with their symbol. Now they have these all over the nation build these bull statues. Now they have this giant bull come into their games. And remember, in Revelation, Greg, it talks about the imagery of the revived Roman Empire. The symbol is a bull with a woman riding it, a woman riding a beast. The woman represents the worldwide religion of the day that the bull's putting up with for a while. It'll be that one world religion after the church is gone.
Yeah.
And the bull puts up with it, but at some point, this animal turns, this beast, and devours the woman, showing the Antichrist will not put up with this religion thing very long. He'll totally do away with it and say, I am God, and destroy the religious world system other than bowing down to him. And it's symbolized by this bull. Now, there's a couple, one other thing I want to say before I go further on this.
Okay.
The Bible talks about this iron beast, that the last days revived Roman Empire is represented by this iron beast with iron claws stomping and trampling everything in its way. In other words, taking total control, and if you get in our way, we will crush you. Kind of going back to the whole raid on the president's home, that same spirit. No one can stop us. We will crush anyone in our path. We'll do whatever we want. And it's going to be a worldwide thing. There's no man on earth they fear. There's no organization. It is going to be the Antichrist leading it. We take over. We rule. It's this kind of thing. Now, why is this especially interesting to me? When Jews, when they came out of Egypt, what did they worship? They worshiped these calves, these bulls, these calves, whatever. The nations around them, you know, got into Moloch worship and into not just Moloch worship, but again, we talked about, Baal or whatever. This is interesting, Greg, because you see this now coming up in Europe. You see the world now giving honor to this symbolism. When Satan fell, what did he say? I want to be like God. I will exalt to the highest sides of the north and be like God. He couldn't say he'd be greater than God because he knew he couldn't be, but he said, I'll be like God. Many people don't realize that one of the faces of Satan, and apparently the face he likes the most, is the face of an ox or a bull.
Mm.
Now, Mark, where are you getting that? The Bible says that the cherubim surround the throne of God. The cherubim, Satan was a cherubim. He was the cherub that covers. So he was one of the cherubim. Now, there's different kinds of angels. We don't know how all of them look, but specifically the cherubim have four faces. The face of a man, the face of an eagle, the face of a lion
and the face of a bull.
An ox or a bull.
Yeah.
Satan has the face of a bull. And I look at it. Why is it he uses, I believe this is Satan manifesting throughout world history, the worship of him. You will bow down to me, the bull, the ox. I am the one you worship. You bow down to me. And so the beast is represented by the ox because it is really representing Satan.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't it be the other three? I think because the lion represents Jesus.
The lion of tribe of Judah, eagle.
Yes. In other words, the
eagles and the Lord and man made in his image.
That's right. The only one that God will allow Satan to use of his four faces. You can't say Satan's two-faced.
Yeah. You can't.
He's four-faced. But the only face that God allows mankind to worship Satan through is what? The face of the ox. It's been throughout history.
Yeah.
It's happening again in the revived Roman Empire and all their symbolism in Europe. And now literally they have, I believe, in a sense, Satan prepping the world and almost this kind of Satan worship coming in the honor of their games. They don't even know it. Some of them may know it. Some of them don't care. Some of them do know it. But it's amazing how blatant Satan is like in the world's face saying once again, just like they bowed down throughout history to all these bulls in Egypt, out of Egypt, in Israel, they're going to bow down to me again. This is my face. I'm the one behind it. And I will say it's a lot of bull that's there behind all that.
Yes.
The enemy, if you will. But it's amazing to watch it just resurfacing.
And you know, it just comes to my mind when you said that, too. And the articles that we've been covering as of late regarding let's do away with eating meat.
Yeah.
And meat primarily coming from cattle. And in India, they worship the cow.
And why would they do that? Against Satan worship.
And I can see how there would be a coordination of that happening.
That's now
a turning of the world to, no, we can't eat that. That's too sacred.
That's right.
Anyway, I think it's very interesting.
It is very interesting. Let's watch
this.
Let's
see what happens.
Listen to the last part of the article. Yep. It says, unfortunately, the vast majority of the population is still dead asleep to what's going on. They have no idea what the elite are doing. Even though it is happening right in front of their eyes.
Yeah. That's a great depiction of some spiritual blindness right there.
Greg, the beast, the iron beast that crushes everything, the whole symbolism of the face of Satan and the ox. It is happening worldwide. It's in our face. Some get it, some don't get it. It is going to be going on for thousands of years, and here we go again.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Fox News Pastor Mark reporting on just a truly sad story here. 80-year-old Washington State woman banned from the YMCA after demanding a trans employee leave the locker room.
Yeah, basically, but she was banned for doing the right thing.
For doing the right thing when you read this article to find out exactly what was going on.
Yeah, remember God says in Romans 1, it's an abomination for a man to be like a woman or a woman to be like a man. This woman made a stand, and of course, in today's world, she's going to be singled out. An 80-year-old Washington State woman was permanently banned from her local YMCA pool after demanding that a transgender employee leave the women's locker room. Now, first of all, let me just say, at least she's 80, and they can't take much of that away from her as far as the YMCA, even if she lives another 20 years, you know. But either way, listen to what it says, and I quote, "I saw a man in a woman's bathing suit watching maybe four or five little girls pulling down their suits in order to use the toilet." This was in the bathroom. Julie Jamin recalled of the July incident to Seattle radio show host Dory Monson on Friday. And I quote, "I asked if he has the parts of a man, and he did. And he said, it's none of your business. I told that man to get out right now." Good for that 80-year-old grandma. She should have taken her cane and whacked him upside the head. And you know what? Maybe I don't think she even had a cane. Apparently, she seemed to be pretty strong. But either way, good for her, and shame on the YMCA for allowing this. Again, you're putting a pedophile right there in the bathroom with these little girls. It makes me angry, and it's evil, and it's wrong, and good for her. And, you know, God bless this woman that had the boldness to do the right thing, when it, sadly, in our culture today, even many men don't have the boldness to do the right thing.
Yeah. All right, Pastor Mark, this article here from NBC News, you'll have to explain the connection to everything here. Nuclear disaster fears grow at Ukraine's Zaporizhzhia plant.
I'm sure I mispronounced that. Let's just say they're Ukraine's nuclear plant.
There you go.
There you go. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres called for international inspectors to be given access to the sprawling nuclear site as fears of a disaster grew after the weekend strikes left the plant damaged but still operational. And I quote, "Any attack to a nuclear plant is a suicidal thing," he said Monday in Tokyo. By the way, where Godzilla came from a nuclear accident. I mean, they have some history here. They know what they're talking about. After a ceremony in Hiroshima to commemorate the 77th anniversary of the world's first atomic bombing, Russia and Ukraine.
Pastor Mark blending movies and prophecy together.
Yeah, well, you know, you see something. Come on, Godzilla's right there in your face. Yes. You still don't get it. Russia and Ukraine have traded accusations over who is responsible for attacks on the plant, which is the largest in Europe. Now, let me just say again. Here's the bottom line. You look at this kind of thing, Greg, and you say, "And what's the relation to this?"
Yeah.
Again, Revelation 16 talks about sores coming up on people's bodies in the last days. Now, we don't know what's going to cause those sores. I'm not saying it's nuclear fallout, but when you see these kind of things where nuclear facilities are now coming in danger, we know in the last days there'll be wars and rumors of war. Could it be that some of this is a release of nuclear radiation? Maybe not. I also think about some of these things. You see this this push to keep on giving more and more of these shots as time goes on. And who knows what that's going to do on the internal part? It could be that as these shots build up over the years, if they keep pushing them, maybe people begin to break out in sores from that. We don't know.
Yeah.
Again, we know it's supernatural. God's going to do it either way.
Yeah.
But again, that's why I wanted to keep this included in here, because it is interesting. We don't know what's going to cause those type of sores in the last days where men are gnawing their tongues in pain, it says. But when you see these kind of things, you can't help but have your eye on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yes.
I'm sure we'll hear more as the days go by.
Yes.
All right. Our last category of the day, Pastor Mark, is the proverbial good news.
Yes.
This is from Christian Headlines. Auburn basketball team baptized in the Jordan River during an Israel tour, a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Yes. Yeah. And again, players.
And that's true.
Yes. Interesting. Again, they took a trip to Israel. One of the players from one of the college basketball's most prominent teams took part in baptism in the Jordan River last week, an off day, as part of the team's summer tour. The Auburn men's basketball team, which is expected to be ranked for the 2022-23 season, has visited multiple historical sites in Israel in recent days. They did a tour, basically, including the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which tradition says is the site of Christ's empty tomb. On Friday, the players were baptized in the Jordan River. And, of course, this is Bruce Pearl's team now. Again, all of our Tennessee fans, you remember.
Former coach.
Former coach. Again, you know, while Bruce Pearl was here, they said that, again, right before he got shipped out, he gave his life to Christ. He's a Jewish man. He gave his life to the Lord. My understanding is that he made a lot of his mistakes prior to that. He's now been saved. Bruce, why didn't you get saved before you made the mistakes here? Maybe we'd have still had Bruce Pearl here. But either way, he's still a very gifted coach. And now, my understanding is, a strong believer. I think he gave his life to the Lord, like I said, here in Knoxville. And some of those that were there said they believed that it was legitimate and real. And so he's Jewish. His roots go back to Israel. I don't know if there was some kind of exhibition game. Maybe there was. I didn't hear the reason they were in Israel. Yeah. He may have just taken them there. But either way, while he's there, they go see these sites. And Bruce Pearl is sharing the gospel with the Auburn basketball players, and they're getting baptized in the Jordan River. I mean, that's
amazing.
Yes, you're not kidding. I mean, that's just fantastic. Yeah. I mean, I'm excited for them as a team. I'm excited for Bruce Pearl and just his relationship with the Lord and all. And so hopefully it you know, great fruit comes out of this.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, before we close, I want to revisit the Yuval Noah Harari article and what we were talking about, because I just want to share something out of the scriptures.
Yes.
This is Isaiah 55, and starting in verse 6 through 9. It says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts."
Amen. Amen.
Just made me think about that when, you know, these guys, and they're lofty, they think that they know it all. They, you know, we know so little in comparison.
Yeah, and let me, and Greg, what a great point to make here, because I want to listen. Again, I do believe God can save the intellectual, God can save the wealthy, but it's harder to save the intellectual wealthy, because they think they don't need God. They think they've got it all figured out. But we have to realize, if you're out there wondering, what about these professors and these people that question the Bible or whatever, they question God and miracles, remember this. I want everybody to grasp this right now. I don't care who they are in the world, Einstein, you know, Stephen Hawking, anybody else you want to name throughout world history that's considered a great intellectual mind, or even those that would say Yuval Harari. The Bible says that mankind fell in the garden, and that is physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, mentally, in every way, which means this: the smartest that man can be is beginning, the foundation is a fallen brain, which means the best mankind can do is start with a fallen brain, and from a fallen brain, do the best they can to calculate the unfallen brain of God. And yet they have the audacity to look at God and say, "We know more than you do. We're greater than you are. We figured it out. We don't need you. We'll be God." No, you won't. You have a fallen brain, and all you're doing is proving that you don't know what you're talking about, and how ashamed and embarrassed they'll be on that day. But again, even in that verse you read, Greg, and a great way to end the show, it talked about how God will have mercy if somebody will just repent.
Yeah.
Look, Yuval Harari, anyone else that thinks they're greater than God or can be God, if they will simply come to Jesus Christ, confess they're a sinner, believe that he died for them on the cross, they too will be saved and be accepted into the kingdom. That's the grace and mercy of our God. And if that's you out there today, however you're listening to the show or watching, if you just believe that Jesus died for you and you lay down your pride and your arrogance, ask him to forgive you. Say, "Lord, I believe that your blood paid for my sin." He'll receive you right now. He said, "In no way will I cast out anyone." You'll be welcomed into the kingdom of God, and you'll be with us forever in the kingdom, rather than being judged like those, if they don't repent, in the last day's judgment by the Lord. So there's still time. Take advantage of that time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Pastor Warren. It's wonderful. It's a great way to end our program, and we do encourage you, you know, draw to the Lord while he is near.
Yeah.
You know, now's the time of your salvation. The Bible says that.
Yeah.
So seize the opportunity. Don't buy any lie from the enemy right now that's making excuses in your brain.
That's right.
You know, get to a church that's near you that you know or have heard that's teaching the word of God.
Yeah. And it may be a fallen brain, but it hasn't fallen so far that the Lord can't reach it.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
TheWayMedia.net or the Way Media app is where you can get all things Signs of the Times related, or Pastor Mark's daily Bible radio program, Come to the Table, or more Signs of the Times stuff, the growing media library of Calvary Knoxville, or listen to our 24-hour radio station, WIAM that we also stream online, because we've got a lot of listeners across the country that do so. And we hope you can join us next Friday for more Signs of the Times right here on WIAM.